Ja, hallo. Auch von meiner Seite aus ganz herzlichen Dank.
Well, hello. Thank you very much. Also from my part, Antje and of course the whole team of the House of World Cultures. I remember when in May 2012 we actually sat together with Harun here. We thought about control and contingency during a documentary forum, and the project was on its way back then, and this is why concept and contingency is actually something that is underlying this and has been controlling, basically, to a certain extent, this project of labor in a single shot. Thank you also to our facility, Rembert, thank you very much. I'm very happy indeed because you were the person who 20 years ago or so actually showed me the first Harun pictures I saw. How to make a shoe. This is the title of my presentation and refers also to a film of the 80s that shows how a shoe is being made. And there are three stages or phases that I would like to outline here. The first one being, you know, an overview of what happened in the past. Then number two, in reference to what Thomas Elsässer said, you know, what does it mean or what did it mean in the 70s to think about work, and what does it mean today? That seems to be an interesting differentiation. And then thirdly, I would like to take a closer look at the fifth film that we saw. And then in the third part, I'm also going to talk about dedication, vocation, and also what an author means. And of course, also there is a reference to education and what we heard by way of introduction in terms of teaching films. An undated document, probably from the summer of 1976, describes Harun Farrokhi. Harun Farrokhi actually describes the planning for an institution dedicated to the collection and making public its documentary material. The two-pager is called What is to be Done? It's accompanied by another two-pager, a survey, signed by the filmmaker himself, in which he asks for suggestions of how such an institution might look like, what its task and objectives could be, what suitable work opportunities and organizational forms could be envisaged. Responses to the survey should be sent by September 30th, 1976, to the address of the magazine Filmkritik, Kreitmeierstraße 3 in Munich. So what is to be done starts as follows. We want to create an establishment that initially should just be an office for guiding and coordinating work on some documentaries. Ultimately, a national imagery library. Producing material to study the present and future to study the past. This establishment will collect, that is, preserve what exists, and produce, that is, initiate what does not yet exist. This appeal has not been heard. A self-organized independent institute such as the one envisaged by Harun and others was not founded. But it is easy to recognize in Farrokhi's own works, in particular those started in the 80s and 90s, more than just an echo of these objectives. His persistent work with existing material in films, which ever since Wiman Zied have been referred to as essayist, does exactly this, preserve what exists. And those scrutinizing films since Ein Bild in 1983 provide exactly that, material to study the present and in future study the past. Also, the project of an archive of filmic expressions, among them not only Arbeiter verlassen die Fabrik, Der Ausdruck der Hände and prison pictures, but also countless records by way of installation works co-produced with Antje Ehmann, was already clearly outlined when Farrokhi wrote, and I quote, "It has not been sufficiently investigated what a useful library of images should actually comprise, its systematic aspect, and what cannot be captured systematically." End of quote. So these plans in what is to be done hold true much more for Antje Ehmans and Farrokhi's global and in many respects truly amazing project Labor in a Single Shot, which they launched and conducted jointly over the past 5 years. It is not at all wrong to call this project, using Farrokhi's words from 1976, as a mobile, temporary office for guiding and coordinating some work on documentaries. And certainly, these more than 300 records feed into an archive of present tense films between 2010 to 2014 that from now will be available as subjects of study and true documents. Archive, image library, thesaurus, or, as in the self-description of Labor in a Single Shot, a network catalog. These are various models used to describe the collection and systemization of these two-minute-long works. Before I turn to one of the two-minute films, I would like to quote another section of this appeal from 1976, because almost 35 years before the beginning of the project Labor in a Single Shot, it precisely stated an important reason for why this project would be necessary. And this is what I put down here on the slide. We believe that the images produced and preserved by public media, mostly television media and TV journalism, are of low documentary value. They are produced by people with a small number of presumptions in their mind. There are throwaway illustrations accompanying certain ways of mainstream thinking and speak. They hardly record processes, but almost exclusively visual metaphors. The originals are cut for one-time use only after a few years. You can see the images only documented media speak at a given time and no more. End of quote. Farrokhi formulated ex negativo something like the mission statement of Labor in a Single Shot. The point is to produce documents on concrete processes and procedures, not image metaphors. And now I would like to show you one more time the film that I showed you before, film number 5.
Claro que cuando es pie, pues ya sí se requiere de la pinza. Vean que acá ya casi se montó. ¿Por qué se montó? Por lo que les desconté. ¿Sí? Entonces aquí, es esto que se me pegó este antro, bueno, aquí doy el jalón primero aquí, al centro. Y aquí ya voy acomodando mi montillo también. Aquí lo voy a hacer con la pinza para que vean qué bonito, ¿no? La horma, que es muy semejante a nuestro pie, hicimos una plantilla plana, una superficie plana, y ahí trazamos nuestro modelo y ese es el resultado. Y eso nos va a servir para hacer un bordillo, un tenis, un gran, una bota, lo que sea, pero siempre hay que saber sacar esto. ¿Sí? Entonces, a ver, veanlo, a ver.
Kurze Erläuterung, da ist in der Übersetzung so eine
Actually, there are subtitles there in that film, and the translation was actually the pin, but actually the tool is a different one. It's probably a plier. So Taller de Zapatería was created by Rodrigo Ortiz in Mexico City in 2014, and the title tells us it's a film about the craft of the shoemaker. So we first see only a tight framing, the torso of a casually dressed worker, which allows us to focus on how he holds the workpiece with his left hand fingers and works the material with the right hand. So he punches the upper material of the shoe around the foot model, thereby adapting its form. The camera focuses on this detail for almost 90 seconds. It is focused on the gestures and the process. It does not follow the hands of the craftsman, but does not change the detail. Occasionally, when necessary, a tool is used which serves both as a hammer and a pair of pliers. We hear from an off-screen voice the explanations of the shoemaker, who describes in simple sentences what the important activities are in this type of work. If the material is leather, you would have to rely on the pliers, as bare fingers are not enough. We also see that he apparently starts working from the seam at the back of the heel, trying to distribute the resulting folds as evenly as possible. The film shows three phases that do merge while clearly being separate. Part one, barely 1 minute, is dedicated to the actual work with hand and tools. It ends by the shoemaker saying, "Here we have the finished piece," who holds the work piece up and shows it to the camera from different sides. Part two jumps back in time because the shoemaker takes a cardboard template into his hand and describes how the shape of the foot has to be translated first into a two-dimensional pattern in order to create the corresponding model and ultimately the working process which we've just seen. During these few seconds, it also becomes clear that the production process is already geared towards its generalization. Using the two-dimensional patterns, a variety of shoes can be produced. As I understand it, it is a kind of basic shape. Therefore, not only is a shoe being produced, but a matrix, which is the starting point for various other shoes to be manufactured. A historian of the year 2065 will also probably discover. And of course, these are the types of films that are very important for the people in 2065. We'll discover that on the back of the pattern, the word Iztapalapa has been printed. This is not a proof, but an indication that filming took place in the district of Mexico City, which bears that name. Well, should 50 years from now the internet, Wikipedia, and the digital file still exist, this historian can go back to February 2015 and read the Wikipedia entry on Iztapalapa. The district, it says, is particularly known for its criminal activities. Most crimes connected with drug trafficking and sale of stolen auto parts, but Iztapalapa also has the highest rates of rape and murder in Mexico City. Between 2008 and 2010, there were 470 murders in the neighborhood, which corresponds to around 20% of all murders committed in the Mexican capital. End of quote. After 90 seconds, the film changes in various respects, and part three begins. The craftsman passes the workpiece on. Only now do we understand the entire situation. By extending the frame, we see that this is a teaching situation in which at least eight more listeners and learners sit next to the shoemaker. The subject of the film changes from production to literally sharing the piece. So the film is by no means only about work, but about displaying this work. Or more precisely, it's about presenting, mediating, passing on the trade as work. This last part is just over 20 seconds long. The camera follows the workpiece as it is passed from one hand to the other. That's not much time, but still some observations can be made. Each film frame is a place of abundance which allows us to see more than what was intended. Functional blue tables, peeling paint, a stone floor. What is conspicuous here, too, is the fact that a heterogeneous group has gathered here, men and women, young and old. Moreover, this place does not seem to be one that is exclusively used for such courses. The setting seems rather improvised. Also, on display is a fitness bicycle built for two standing beside two tilted pieces of furniture that probably had to make room for the tables. It is quite possible that the information provided on the location of filming, that is this neighborhood, our perception changes so that we no longer think of a shoemaker's workshop, but a social rehabilitation measure maybe. But it is also quite possible that this sociological interpretation is wrong. It is remarkable how by broadening the view during the last 30 seconds of the film, the status of the subject who was documented changes. So far, we were able to think that we were watching the shoemaker explaining to us, that is to the camera and the audience, a particular working step. Zooming out of the image changes our assessment of this situation. The situation has not been produced for the recording, probably not at least, but it already existed when the filmmaker started shooting. So here too, documentary conceptions and methods confront each other. The first part seems to correspond to the usual journalistic method of putting someone in front of the camera and having him explain his activity. However, in retrospect, we understand that we misjudged the situation. The shoemaker does not explain to us, but to other learners. We are only secondary in this situation of learning. What can we deduce from this? Firstly, we note that here work and mediation go directly hand in hand and cannot be separated from each other. The production of the workpiece is also the production and dissemination of knowledge, of a skill in using certain things as tools. On the other side, the documentary work is directly linked to this mediation work. It takes it up and develops it by depicting the situation and making it available to us. This is the lesson in Lumière fashion, so characteristic to labor in a single shot. We wish to show something, and Wolfgang Bayernhof actually already mentioned this morning, but it is key to first of all determine the adequate conditions. This includes an observation of a longish operation and the decision on closeness or distance to the object. It includes a necessary spontaneity to respond to situational change. The contingent rule that the uncut shot should not be longer than 2 minutes works like a catalyst of concentrated perception. When Pedro Costa, around the turn of the millennium, began to work with a digital consumer camera for No Cuarto Lavanda, he noted that the lightweight and easily manageable digital cameras possessed a kind of invisible label with the annoying appeal to keep moving. The maneuverability of the camera can promote the restlessness of the gaze. Today, considering GoPro and iPhone camera, impatience seems to be the default property of these devices. To use these new cameras as if they were equipped with analog film is an important consideration of labor in a single shot. The aim is, as we read in the concept, to return to the fixed point of the early films, and Thomas Elsässer also quoted this. Namely, the early film said, every detail of our moving world is worth considering and capturing. They had a fixed point of view, while contemporary documentary films nowadays tend to stuff one shot after another into a mixture of cinematic confusion. Opposed to this, a single-shot film combines predestination and openness, concept and contingency. In this respect, the simplicity of a short film such as Tablier e Zapateria is deceptive because it is not the starting point but the result of image ideas and of work. How to produce a shoe, how to make a movie. Simplicity without simplification was the formula that Haroon used in the curricula of the Academy of Fine Arts in Vienna under the heading of Learning Objective. The documents that have been created in the context of labor in a single shot do have authors, but they are not auteur films and do not strive to be ones. The desire to map a process within a short recording of 120 seconds to pass it on almost necessarily leads to putting itself oneself aside. Well, so as to refute the auteur theory, Jean Eustache and Jean-Michel Bajol shot Le Cochon in 1970, showing the slaughtering and stripping of a pig on a farm. Both did the camera work, and the bet was that it would not be possible to distinguish who had done what. The closer you get to documenting a process, the more specific filming of its peculiarities is done, the less important are individual representational features while the documentary character comes to take priority. And I quote, one should not interpret an event into any event anything else but what it itself tells you, says Ostash. The term dedication used as one of the terms on this panel can also be construed in this way. The individual takes a step back. It is an attempt of a non-authorial language. This does not at all mean that objectivity can be achieved. It is rather an expression of respect vis-a-vis the subject that is depicted. Other criteria than our own preferences are needed to document something accurately. The film process lays down its own rules, features its own ideas, and what is appropriate. Evocation and devotion means to tackle the same problems over again, always returning to the key questions, not in individual works, but in networked, interrelated, continuous series of productions. Then this is an apt description of Ferrocchi's attitude. From the beginning, his work was marked by the linkage between work, document, and mediation. Today, students of films are mainly trained for a professional career in publishing or entertainment and television sector format, he wrote in September 1970 to the director of DFFB, the film school which he had to leave almost 2 years earlier. The role which film plays and will play in teaching is disregarded. I propose to hold a series of events during the winter semester in which filming in the educational sector is presented. It did not come about, but again, traces of this can be found throughout Ferrocchi's work. They are visible in his attempt around 1970 to bring cybernetics and didactics together and to deal with learning machines in the Ovico project for the study of audiovisual codes pursued in collaboration with Hartmut Bitomski in his contributions for children's TV, which we saw yesterday, but also in observation films and the practice of dual projections with its possibilities of image comparison. Antti Ehmann's and Harun Farocki's labor in a single shot has been characterized by this didactic impetus. I know that the term didactic does not enjoy a particularly good reputation, but it seems important to me to point out that the short observation videos are by the operations of selection, display, and accessibility connected to the kind of image that Tom Holland and Marion von Osten have described a few years ago as educational images. The didactics behind labor in a single shot is, however, implicit rather than explicit. It does not wish to produce ready-made knowledge segments, but has been developed as an invitation to participate in precise observations and get passionate about them. The more than 300 short videos of labor in a single shot can be understood as a suggestion to keep on exploring by yourself, as you can with Ferrocchi's entire work as well. So over a period of 5 years, the work and teaching of Antti Ehmann and Harun Ferrocchi has arisen and is now available to everyone. And here we can say that this is an exhibition. It is possible to access it in the internet, but it's not a national, but really an international imagery library. And it is not a single standing event, not a series at the film school, but the result of an alternative film school. Thank you very much.